You ever watch this guy on television?
You all were not telling the truth, and you should not be trusted.
Congressman Matt Gaetz, thank you for what you did for your country tonight.
Be offended with the Democratic whip, not House Republicans.
Like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
Welcome to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. Let's talk about the news. And how could our top news story today not be? An international force of aliens communicating with the United States and Israel, according to Israel's former head of the space program. We get the story from the Jerusalem Post, and this guy apparently led Israel's space program from 1981 to 2010 and gave an interview saying that the aliens are conducting tests regularly on Earth. They have a base on Mars. They talk to the U.S. and Israeli government, and that President Trump was intending to declassify and expose this alien contact, but that the Galactic Federation has convinced him not to, so that people can calm down and get ready for the news of the existence of aliens working to some degree in concert with our government and with Israel's government. Here's my hot take. I am here for the alien news. I don't need to calm down. I don't need to get into a different state of mind. If there are aliens, I want to know about it. I want to know who they're talking to. I want to know what their goals are. And I want to know what their capabilities are. If there really are aliens and they're aware of us, I don't think that this is all going to be entirely peaceful. I think that just the nature of colonialism with living things would result in either them wanting to colonize us or us wanting to colonize them. So we will continue to bring you all the alien news we can on this podcast. Really striking. Check out the story in the Jerusalem Post. Keep the schools open, where parents have at least the option for in-person learning for their students. And of course, there'll be parents who choose distance learning, virtual learning, alternate learning sites, and we're all about parent choice. But you deprive parents' choice when you don't open the public schools. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has been a national leader advocating for the option for in-person student learning. Here's the governor.
I would say that closing schools due to coronavirus is probably the biggest public health blunder in modern American history. The fallout in communities that are still chafing under school closures. We have some of the biggest school districts in our country that still do not have in-person instruction. Incidentally, of the top 10 school districts population-wise, five are in Florida. All five offer in-person instruction. But the harm from this is going to reverberate in those communities for years and years to come. And the tragedy of all this is that the evidence has been remarkably clear since the spring that closing schools offers virtually nothing in terms of virus mitigation, but imposes huge costs on our kids, on our parents, and on our society.
Governor DeSantis is right, and here's my hot take. Education, particularly public education in our country, has become more about the adults in that system than the kids. And clearly the decision to close schools is not one that is best for the students. Now, I think we need to accommodate teachers who have medical frailties, who maybe are closer to retirement, who are concerned about their health, of course. But where you've got younger teachers, where you've got the ability to create swing space and distancing, the governor is right. The negative effects of closing school are so much more detrimental to young people than the threat of coronavirus. I stand with the governor of Florida and with the parents and students who deserve the option of in-person learning. The establishment in our country that has drained the people, they're licking their chops at the prospect of a Biden administration, and that's especially true in national security. Nationalinterest.org has the story. Joe Biden's picks show the Washington establishment is back. Biden's late November national security picks signal his commitment after 4 years of Trump's unorthodox policy approach to realign the Washington experience with the mainstream of U.S. diplomatic and intelligence establishment thinking. What this principally means is that they want to get rid of the America First foreign policy that has been so effective and refreshing. You see, the America First foreign policy meant that we actually started focusing on our near peer adversaries, and we didn't drain our nation with the global war on terror's objectives of chasing every terrorist into every cave. The America First foreign policy meant that we weren't going to be dead money in negotiations globally, like in the Paris Climate Accord, where basically the U.S. put up a ton of cash, other countries got to use that cash, and maybe it worked and maybe it didn't, but at the end of the day, it was going to be the benefit of others and the expense of Americans that really drove the train on the Paris Climate Accord. And then specifically, this national interest piece goes into how Biden conflates multilateralism with transatlanticism. He really believes that the U.S. transatlantic relationships ought to drive global discourse. That, of course, means bolstering the potential of a Russian threat. That's what really, I think, keeps up the threat construction ecosystem that would fuel a potential Biden foreign policy. I'm still hoping that Joe Biden never becomes president. But if he did, the establishment would eat first, their policy ideas would be implemented, and America would be worse off for it. CNBC was the source of quite the exchange on cable news recently. CNBC's Rick Santelli blasted anchor Andrew Ross Sorkin over coronavirus lockdowns. The shouting match went viral after the intense exchange occurred regarding how these lockdowns impact people's lives, their impact on health. Take a listen.
Can't tell me that shutting down, which is the easiest answer, is necessarily the only answer.
Rick, I just as a public health and public service announcement for the audience, the difference between
wait,
a big
all,
box retailer.
Who is this?
Hold on. The difference between it's oh, Andrew.
Who else?
The difference between a big box retailer and a restaurant, or frankly, even a church, are so different. It's unbelievable.
I disagree.
You're wearing a mask.
You can have your thoughts and I
you're
can have mine.
You're required to wear a mask.
I disagree.
It's science. I'm sorry. It's science. If
it's
you're wearing
not
a mask,
science.
It's a different story.
500 people in a Lowe's aren't any safer than 150 people in a restaurant that holds 600. I don't believe it. Sorry. Don't believe
okay.
it. And I live in an area where there's a lot of restaurants that have fought back and they don't have any problems. And they're open.
Okay. You don't have to believe it. But let me just say this. You're doing a disservice to the viewer because the viewers need to understand it.
You are doing a disservice to the viewer. You are.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If I would like to keep our viewers as healthy as humanly possible. The idea of packing people into restaurants.
I think our viewers are smart enough to make part of those decisions on their own.
Completely different things.
I don't think that I'm much smarter than all the viewers like some people do.
I've recently spent some time in Los Angeles, and it is so sad how a vibrant, diverse, exciting city has been hollowed out by lockdowns over the coronavirus. One restaurant owner shared that frustration recently. Take a listen.
So this is my place, the Pineapple Hill Grill and Saloon. If you go to my page, you can see all the work I did for outdoor dining, for tables being 7 feet apart. And I come in today because I'm organizing a protest, and I came in to get stuff for that.
Good.
And I walk into my parking lot, and obviously Mayor Garcetti has approved this. Has approved this being set up for, this being set up for a movie company. I'm losing everything. Everything I own is being taken away from me. And they set up a movie company right next to my outdoor patio, which is right over here. And people wonder why I'm protesting and why I have had enough. They have not given us money and they have shut us down. We cannot survive. My staff cannot survive. Look at this. tell me that this is dangerous, but right next to me as a slap in my face, that's safe. This is safe. 50 feet away, this is dangerous. Mayor Garcetti and Gavin Newsom is responsible for every single person that doesn't have unemployment, that does not have a job, and all the businesses that are going under. And we need your help. We need somebody to do something about this.
Here's my hot take. Restaurants should be open. And yes, we should have innovations that allow us to be safer, like menu-less ordering, like contactless payment, like masks and distancing where appropriate. But this notion that we're going to take people from inside a restaurant and then build a tent outside the restaurant and then put the people in the tent and they're somehow going to be safer is ludicrous. And the notion that we're going to shut down the experience dining industry altogether is devastating to our fellow Americans and their families who rely on it. And this restaurant owner correctly shared that frustration, and I stand with them. I stand with those who want the dignity of work. So much we do in government is to try to get people to want to work. And here we have millions upon millions of our fellow Americans who want to, who through no fault of their own are seeing their government take away their livelihoods and in some cases their lives. Open America up. Let Americans make smart choices. If there are those with medical frailties who need to stay inside longer, let's make sure they have every support system to be able to honor that choice. But for those of us who make the choice to go out and live our lives, we should be able to eat inside like human beings, supporting our fellow Americans, their businesses, their goals, and their prosperity. The politically correct woketopians have canceled Uncle Ben, Aunt Jemima, and now maybe even Uncle Sam. That's right, Politico has put out a video offering a critique of the utilization of an old skinny white guy for Uncle Sam. Take a listen.
Uncle Sam has served as our national avatar for a very long time, but it's fair to ask. Maybe it's time to come up with an avatar that better represents the diversity of the country. As a cartoonist, I love the old guy, and I lean on him all the time in my cartoons. It's not just me, but other cartoonists, designers, patriotic propagandists of all stripes have relied on Uncle Sam as a handy and durable symbol of the U.S. government for a couple of centuries. He's evolved in small ways over the years. His costumes varied, his hat and necktie get reworked a bit. But fundamentally, Uncle Sam has remained the same skinny white guy with a stringy goatee for a very long time. 208 years, as a matter of fact. I started to wonder. It's 2020, and over the past couple years, we've been reckoning with representation in our national symbology. Monuments and statues of marble and bronze that were once accepted as national icons are being questioned and reconsidered. Some are coming down. Don't get me wrong, Uncle Sam isn't Robert E. Lee. I'm not out to topple a venerated icon. Like I said, I like the old guy. But as one old white guy to another old white guy, maybe it's not surprising that he works for me. Maybe it's time to recast Uncle Sam and come up with something that better reflects America.
This is just ridiculous. If people want to add to the American avatar collection, there are so many opportunities. You don't have to change Uncle Sam. I mean, what are we going to do? Have Uncle Sam come out as transgendered? You know, is he going to be transitioning? I don't know if that means he becomes Aunt Sally or Uncle Sally or Aunt Sam, but it's just so present in the minds of people in our day to attach everything to identity. It's not about what Uncle Sam represents. It's not about sometimes the patriotic and comical and inspiring utilization of the image. It's just about a way to virtue signal. And that doesn't do anything to advance the cause of our country. It uses identity to try to reinscribe differences and division rather than to create a common sense of unity. So I stand with Uncle Sam as he is. Current race, current gender, maybe modernize the wardrobe a little. Congratulations to Congresswoman Alex Ocasio-Cortez. In addition to being the outspoken Democrat socialist from New York State, she is also the Employee of the Month for Goya Foods. That's right, Goya Foods president and CEO Bob Renier revealed that after AOC echoed a call for a boycott of Goya products back in July because he supported President Trump, his company named her Employee of the Month because sales rose so dramatically. We get the story from the Daily Wire, and you know, I remember this conflict. I remember talking to some of the senior executives at Goya Foods, and frankly, they were elated at all the attention. And there were a lot of folks who made sure that when they were in that canned vegetable line in the grocery store that they reached for Goya first. So I guess they're glad that AOC took so much time to recognize their contribution to the political debate. And we congratulate Alex Ocasio-Cortez on being a Goya Foods Employee of the Month. Thanks for listening to Hot Takes. I'm Congressman Matt Gaetz. This podcast is written, directed, and produced by a team that includes myself, Luke Ball, and Joel Valdez. Give us a hand, subscribe, perhaps give us that 5-star rating on iTunes or however you rate your podcasts on your listening platform of choice, and join us tomorrow for more Hot Takes.